Have you always wanted to write a book? Chances are the answer is yes, because when I was researching this episode, I found several studies over the last decade that actually indicate anywhere from 50 to 81% of Americans aspire to be a published author. Do you count yourself among them? Me too. And because this podcast is all about bringing you the tools, tips, tricks, and strategies to follow your passions and live your purpose, today we're going to be talking to Jessica, founder of House of Indigo Publishing.
For so many people, it's one of those things where they're like, I'm going to do it one day. I really believe that everyone has a story that has impact. You can inspire so many people from what you've been through, from what you know. We just have been through it, so we think that it's not as big of a deal. Looking back, like, where were you like 3 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago? And look at all of that knowledge and wisdom that you've accumulated. That's really powerful. And wouldn't you from 10 years ago, wouldn't you love to have that?
Are you one of those aspiring authors waiting for someday? Well, that someday starts today. Welcome to the Biz Essentials Podcast. I'm your host, Veronica, and I'll be back right after this.
Tony Robbins once said, "No matter how many mistakes you make or how slow you progress, you are still way ahead of everyone who isn't trying." This is the Biz Essentials. You want to grow, get ahead. Keep the spark. Here you'll get valuable insights and empowerment to grow personally and professionally. Isn't it about time you turn your dreams into successful passion projects? Learn how to be productive, be successful, be joyful, and more importantly, be yourself. The Be Essentials. This is the Biz Essentials. And this is your host, Veronica of Veronica Ventures.
Welcome back, everybody. Before we get to the ins and outs of writing a book and getting it published, I want to introduce you to Jessica.
I'm Jessica Farrell. I'm the founder of House of Indigo Publishing. I support spiritual and wellness practitioners in showing up, putting their voice out there, and being seen as experts within their fields. Whether it's a naturopath, to a chiropractor, to a healer, to a coach, I support them in writing stories that will be impactful for their audience. Some people use them as lead magnets. Some people want to use them as, you know, something that goes along with a course they've created. And other people are just really wanting to get their mission and their impact out there to a larger audience. So I support them from everything from writing to the actual publishing to marketing afterwards. So the whole picture or any of those within. I'm also a mom. I'm very into conscious parenting. I am an energetic alchemist and a channel. So those are just a couple of the hats that I know as women, we usually have like 50. So
Jessica didn't set out to become a book publisher. She actually wanted to be an author just like you. So how did she go from author to publisher? This is her story.
I felt like it would look like me just, you know, writing a book and trying to figure out how to publish it and go through all of that. But it ended up like this opportunity came to learn how to do this management of publishing and how to go within this. So I wholeheartedly jumped in, and it is even better because not only do I get to write, but I get to support other people. And so many people have this dream and they have this desire to want to write or to be published. And I get to help them with that. And it's really awesome.
Jessica's right. So many people want to write a book and they don't know where to start. Knowing that someday I want to be a published author, I asked Jessica what it was like to work with her.
I definitely help with a lot of mindset shifts, a lot of energetic shifts and activations, and helping them move into this person who is within them that just needs to be kind of dug out a little bit so that they're really able to access their voice and their heart and their vision and kind of bring it all together. And some people come with a few ideas or like a semblance of an idea, and we kind of work through that entire process of writing and connecting and going through the entire process. Other people come to me and they're like, I have this book and I just wrote it and I want you to help me clean it up and get it ready and, you know, get it published.
And so either way is great. You know, I love doing both of them for different reasons. But if we're working on actually sitting down and writing it together and getting it all out, there's a few things that we work through. there's a lot of questions figuring out, you know, what are your goals for this? If I could make this magic wand wave and anything would happen, then what impact would you like this to have? And that's typically when people are coming to me, is they're wanting to have a bigger impact in the world. And so really creating something in a way that is going to help facilitate that in the best way possible is my goal. And it all happens with just having that really open communication and dialogue and moving through any of the challenges that come up along the way of that, because there always are.
Yeah, I can imagine, because even just brainstorming my book idea, I'm coming up with all kinds of emotional blocks. So I can imagine when you're actually like in the thick of things.
It's an incredibly healing process. Writing your own book and being in the multi-authored books. You know, I've been in four or five times, I think I've been published. And every time it's incredibly healing. And the authors that I work with are always saying, I didn't really know what a healing journey and what a transformational experience this was going to be. And that's even in just writing a chapter. So when you're sitting down to write your entire manuscript, you are in for a lot of good times.
Oh, now I'm scared.
It's good though. It's good. It's incredibly healing and transformational to be able to express something that maybe had so much emotions or guilt or shame or all of these things that we can put on ourselves or around situations or experiences. And when we like finally share them and get to that place where we're like, this was an experience that I had and I'm sharing it to help others and to move forward, it's really incredibly healing.
You know, it's always very much a very deep personal connection for me. And it's such an honor for me. You know, I had someone contact me yesterday about publishing her book. Every time I feel like I'm gonna cry, because I'm like, this is such an important part of who you are. Like our voice, our stories, our experiences are so profound and deep and personal. And that for someone to share that with me, it just feels like an immense honor. And I really try to respect that.
I bet. Wow. I'm all moved. I can't think. This keeps happening to me this morning, clearly. I need therapy. I absolutely love Jessica's passion. And my favorite thing about being the host of the Biz Essentials podcast is that I get to talk to industry experts who are super passionate about what they do to get answers for you. So I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that you can submit questions and topic suggestions at thebizessentials.com or via social media. So what do you need to know to follow your passions and be successful? Let me know and I'll find an expert to answer those questions just like this. When people are working on that first draft of their manuscript, I know everyone's going to differ on their processes, but do you find it better to just start writing? Should we come up with an outline? Is it like do the story arc? I keep finding different information online.
Everyone is so unique that, you know, there is that level of needing to find what works best for you. However, I will say that most people work best, and usually what I recommend is for people to create an outline of these are the key things that I really want to talk about, and then kind of have an outline for your chapters and then fill that in. I work well like that in general. I like to have structure and then flow within it. So having some guidelines of like, oh, this is what I wanted to write about, and these are the key things that I wanted to hit upon within that, gives me some structure that allows me to kind of flow within the empty spaces.
I've been doing a lot of research because I've been thinking about writing this book for a while. And from what I've read, a lot of nonfiction books now are using a lot of the narrative styles and storytelling styles of fiction books. Is that how it's working these days? Or has it always been that way and I was just clueless?
I see things happening in a few different ways. I think that has evolved in a way where we're wanting more of the entertainment into it. Instead of just being like, well, this happened to me, really adding more of the descriptive words and more of the details and things like that, like you would in fiction writing, can really support your writing and support the reader's experience so much. But I would also hesitate to make anything too complex or too over the top unless that's really what your readers and fans are interested in. Most of the time when people are writing a lot of nonfiction, it's in their voice that they would be speaking. So, you know, if you're writing a book about an energetic technique that you created, it's going to be similar to the tone that you would use if you were teaching that class in person. And if you're telling stories, it might be more similar to how you would be telling stories to your online audience or a friend.
Is there a specific structure that works best for memoirs or telling your story? Or is it just all over the place, kind of like it is with fiction? Because there's so many different ways to tell a fiction book. Is there a better way to do a memoir, or is it just really up to the author?
There are so many different ways to do it. And again, it's really feeling into what's going to highlight where you're at, what's going to highlight your story, what's going to really bring home the components that you're wanting your reader to walk away with. And how is that going to be highlighted the best? It's so unique, like every single story. I mean, if everything was like, this is how you do it, it would be really boring. And I don't think would want to read any books. But that vast creative energy that is coming in, you know, it's like infinite potential of what it could be like. And that's where the magic comes.
That's exactly why people need you, right? Because everything is so different. Everything's unique. Darn it. I just want like an ABC. Okay, done. No, I don't really. Because I think, like you said, part of it is part of the healing journey. A huge part of that for me is sharing my story with other people and hopefully creating that impact that we were talking about. I hate to keep diving into the details, but I really am curious. We talked about structure. Is there a certain word count that's better as far as readability or even sellability?
All of these things that are going on in our world climate and our home climates have, I think, created a push for some of the more digestible books, what I would call like a book primer of maybe like 10,000 to 15,000 words, or some of them that are broken up into different sections or categories or in different formats that you're able to take in a little bit and leave it and then come back and take in a little bit more. And I think that's why people enjoy the multi-authored books so much. Is that you're getting these perspectives from, say, you know, 20 different people and their experiences and their stories, and it's still falling within the same theme, but you're getting all of these different perspectives and little nuggets of wisdom from different people. But it's not like, you know, you need to read 50 pages at a time or you're not going to be able to understand the concepts.
Right. So I assume if you're still listening and you're with me, you want to write a book. So what's holding you back? What is getting in your way of you following your passions? Jessica shared some of the obstacles that she sees with her clients and how she helps them overcome those obstacles.
For so many people, it just gets put off. It's one of those things where they're like, I'm going to do that one day. I'm going to do it one day. I'm going to do it one day. And for whatever reason, like our minds get like this monkey mind starts chattering away. We think that we don't have enough time for it. We don't prioritize it. We don't think that we have a message that would be valuable. Who would want to read my story? I've heard that so many times. I really believe that everyone has a story that has impact. You can inspire so many people from what you've been through, from what you know. We just have been through it, so we think that it's not as big of a deal. Looking back, like where were you like 3 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, and look at all of that knowledge and wisdom that you've accumulated. That's really powerful. And wouldn't you from 10 years ago, wouldn't you love to have that? So like, that's a really big thing that a lot of people really need to get in. Because if you don't have that, you're just gonna keep procrastinating, putting it off. The second part is to have an accountability partner, whether you hire someone or you have a friend or your mom or whoever it is that, you know, I need to be accountable. I have to write one chapter a week, or I have to do whatever it is. Have a deadline and have a goal for yourself, and have there be some sort of, you know, reward or something wrapped around that you can feel really good about, like celebrating it. those are the two biggest obstacles that I see. Like, actually writing the book is a big thing to overcome. Once you get there, you know, you can look into finding a literary agent and trying to go traditional publishing. You can self-publish, or you can look for someone like me who helps you publish and is like a hybrid. So I'm supporting you through the process and you don't have to DIY it all. So I think for so much, it's just getting it written. And once you do, you know, don't be afraid to look out for people. There's plenty of people like me who are hybrid publishers. I do connection calls with people. I'm willing to hear what they're talking about, what they want to write about. And if it's not a good fit for me, then I'll refer them to someone else or I'll let them know, you know? And so just start the process. There's a lot more information and resources available.
I think it's the complexity of it, or what they perceive it to be, that it's so big that they have to block out all of this time. And so they never actually get started. Mm-hmm. So blocking out time and just starting sounds like a great way to start.
Yeah.
I just totally repeated myself, but you gotta get it.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, I'm getting ready to launch my second multi-authored book because a lot of people find the process completely overwhelming. And there are projects like that. You can be a part of a project with a bunch of different collaborators and you can author one chapter in it. It's kind of a step in that. It gives you a sense of what you're doing and what the process is like without it feeling so overwhelming. But the point is, it's just to schedule it out. It can be 30 minutes a week.
Absolutely. And that actually sounds a lot less daunting than I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write for 30 minutes. I'm good.
Exactly. It's just take it one step at a time.
So you've written your book and you're ready to go. How do you know what kind of publisher is right for you? I asked Jessica to explain the difference between traditional, self, and hybrid publishing.
I'll start. Traditional publishing is really great for some people. And that's what you think of when you think of like Hay House or, you know, Random House, or there's like the five big publishing companies. Kind of the pros and cons of it are they are typically going to want you to have a literary agent that you're going to have to hire to submit proposals to them, go through that whole process. It's similar in a lot of ways to the other things because they're really looking for someone who has a big audience who is going to be able to leverage that to sell the book, but they're taking care of multiple rounds of editing and doing all of this back end stuff. The pro is that you definitely have someone guiding you through and you have that name behind you and all of that. However, if you feel really strongly about the title or some part of it, and they disagree with you, it doesn't matter. You've sold your rights over to them. So they have the right to publish it and create what they want with it. And you don't have that anymore. They have control over what goes out there, but it can be a really great option for some people. Self-publishing is definitely like DIY. You can do it really inexpensively. The end product usually isn't the best quality. So there's a range of what you're going to do with self-publishing, but that's finding an editor, finding someone to do the interior design, a cover designer, like doing all of that. People do it and it's totally doable. But for, you know, a lot of people and like my clients, they don't have the time to do it. They don't care to learn it. They don't, you know, they're like, I just want my book published. I did all of this part. And so hybrid publishers work a couple of different ways. There's usually some upfront cost, which actually happens a lot in traditional publishing as well. People don't know that, but oftentimes they will say, oh, we will publish, but you have to give us this much money or something like that. So it's more of a done-for-you service, kind of bridging the self-publishing and the traditional publishing, getting your book out there in a way that's very professional and high quality and not having you to piece it together and do it all yourself.
Sounds great. So basically, the benefits are that you have that assistance like you would with a traditional publisher, mm-hmm. but you also don't have to necessarily suffer in the quality and you get to retain the rights.
Yes. I always tell my authors that. I'm like, these are suggestions. The edits are suggestions. Everything are suggestions. You have the right to say, no, you know what? I want to just send my book out there and publish it absolutely the way that it is. That is your right. So all of them are suggestions.
One of the things that you talked about was multi-author books. I was wondering, how does that work?
From my perspective, I'm so connected with the guidance that's coming through. And so oftentimes I'll get an idea or a title for a book I've got a gazillion of them scribbled down in my notes app, and I will continue to check in, like, you know, is this something that I'm moving forward on now? Is this something that I'm moving forward on later? But once that is really clear, then I just start the process of finding people who are a good fit, getting a really clear understanding of the book and what is wanting to come through, so what the theme is, and finding people who are supportive of that. And then as we're coming together, you know, I'm taking care of the back end details, like having the cover designed, getting all of like the publishing technical stuff, getting it formatted for the interior design, as well as editing and going through this entire backend process, all the while supporting all of the contributors through a process of writing, getting their stories out there. Because my background is in energetics and healing, there's a lot of energetic clearings and activations and usually around visibility and imposter syndrome, because those are really big things that come up for people as they're writing their story. There's a lot of support taking the author through the process of writing and getting their story out, as well as getting a headshot and doing a bio, so that when someone reads their story and feels really connected, they know how to follow up and find that person. And I take care of the back end details. We launch, we usually hit many, many different categories of best-selling status on Amazon in many different countries. We have a lot of fun, a launch party. There's usually a dance party from people all over the world. And it's really beautiful. There's so many connections and friendships and networking and collaborations take place beyond the book that it's just really fun to create and facilitate.
When it comes to book sales, how does that work between all of the authors?
At the end of the year, I take all of the profits from the book sales on Amazon and I donate them to a nonprofit. I've been working with Operation Underground Railroad, which is a foundation that was developed to stop exploitation of children and childhood trafficking. It keeps it really clean and simple. Then I just give them a pretty good sized donation between the profits from the sales of the books, and then I add more in.
What a great way for people to get published and then also contribute to the world at large. We get to get our stories out there and hopefully inspire other people, but also give back to an organization that does wonderful things all around the world. Jessica loves helping people share their message, but sometimes that message comes in a unique form. So you help with books, you help with children's books, and then you mentioned that you do other types of printings. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I have been working on building out a team and creating these beautiful experiences for people who are wanting to create oracle decks or affirmation decks, anything along those lines. And I've brought together some incredible designers and different support teams to be able to provide a complete experience of coming to us with a concept, to us helping you design it, helping you word craft it if that's needed, and then helping with printing, distribution, and setup and everything. So it's a lot of fun and I'm really having a lot of fun with them. They're really cool.
I bet, because that's even, I mean, not to say that books aren't creative, but it's a totally different type of creativity. You know me, ever curious. So I was intrigued by these oracle decks. So of course I had to ask more. Jessica indicated that because an oracle deck can be so intricate and unique, and because there's no viable print-on-demand options, creating an oracle deck from design to conception can take over 6 months, and it's a pretty significant financial investment as well. You definitely want to make sure that you're dedicated to it, but if that is something that you're interested in, I would definitely hit her up. And if oracle decks are a hobby of yours, they actually have one on pre-order right now.
It's called Unveiled, and it's was designed by Kim Paget. She designed the artwork. She channeled all the messages, and it's working with shadow aspects and really uncovering like these hidden elements of maybe what we're not aware of. It is a really like it was a good one to start with. It's incredible. Yeah,
that's awesome. I can't wait to see it. And recently I've been more attuned to my own spiritual nature. And so I was curious what Jessica meant when she said that she was an energetic alchemist. I had never heard that term before.
I've been studying, well, professionally, I've been studying energy work for about 20 years. These are things that I was interested in as a child, and I did not know why. Like, I, you know, remember like reading books on herbs and candle magic and all of this stuff when I was like 11 and 12 years old. And like, nobody introduced me to this. Nobody like showed me, oh, this is what you do. I started professionally studying it when I was about 21. And I've studied so many different things and so many different methods and practices and all of this. And it doesn't really feel like there's a word to be able to explain how all of that comes together, except for like the energetic alchemy. So for me, I'm able to manipulate energy very quickly. So I have clients or sometimes family members contact me and they're like, this is going on. And I'm like, oh, and things move very rapidly. So for me, it's taking those aspects of ourselves or that we've kind of carried around from other people, you know, like this energetic debris or these traumas or these hurts, and being able to alchemize those in a way that releases power within us and that we're able to utilize that in so much more of a way that we want to. That's helping us and really utilizing our gifts.
Energetic alchemy sounds super interesting, but I asked Jessica how this played into her business life. And as she has been suggesting all along, she uses her gifts to help her clients. She doesn't believe that your personal self and your business self have to be mutually exclusive.
I think that there has been this theme in the past, especially for entrepreneurs, to really separate who they are. Like, this is my business and this is what I do, but this is like this other part of me. What I'm finding so much is that people are really just wanting this integration, fully expressing who you are and what your beliefs are and really getting into the depths of those like nuances.
Jessica's right. We are one whole person, mind, body, and spirit in everything that we do. Jessica is another healing mama, and I was blown away when she explained her approach to parenting.
Conscious parenting for me is really having an awareness or consciousness of everything that I'm doing as a parent. How am I showing up? How am I helping my daughter become a strong person emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually? How am I supporting her in all of those realms? And not in the way that I want her to be, but in the way that she is. It's having the realization that she is a sovereign being. She is her own creature, and she's not just like this extension of me. You know, it's like, yes, I grew her and she came from me, but she is her own individual, and having that awareness and really continually trying to do better. So parenting is definitely a very triggering and healing journey. And so it's constantly looking back at those. Like, she's constantly like mirroring to me like wounds that maybe I thought that I had dealt with, but didn't fully. Like, oh, there's another layer to that. So interesting. It's really about having the mindset and awareness to see things in that perspective and then go within and work on those things so that you can show up as a better expression of yourself, which allows them the same.
And of course, she found a way to bring it all together.
The children's books that I've been working on, they have been really into personal development, healing, conscious parenting. Again, whether it's on the healing spectrum or mental or just that awareness of our emotions, just really good supportive books for children. This is like a newer area for me, and I love it. It's something I always knew that I wanted to do and get into. And I have a couple of my own that are waiting to come out also.
You know, I mentioned it before, but one of my favorite things about hosting the Biz Essentials podcast is that I get to connect on a pretty deep level with very passionate and authentic people. And if you've listened to my episodes, you know that at the end of every episode, I ask the guest what their final thought is, those last impactful words for our audience. And I can't think of a single time that their answer didn't totally blow me away. Jessica's final thought was no exception, and she practically rendered me speechless. I went ahead and left in my response because it really came from the heart, and I would love for you to listen to it.
We have so many different ways that we are programmed to think that we need to believe, or programmed to think that we need to act in a certain way, or we need to do certain things. We need to grow up and go to college and get a job and do this and do that. And I call bullshit I hope swearing's okay.
Yeah, you're totally fine.
Because when you're connected to who you are and your authentic self and your voice and your heart, you are going to be having the most beautiful version of your life that you could be. And what works for somebody isn't going to work for you. So it's like really connecting deeper into who you are, into what's right for you, and that internal guidance for you. And that will flow through into all areas of your life.
Wow, that was beautiful. I'm here again, getting all welled up. And what happens to me is usually I go, I can't talk anymore because my brain is focusing on what you just said. But that's absolutely and wonderfully true. If you focus on who you truly are, then you are more likely to do the things that you were meant to do and make an impact in this world in the way that you were supposed to. So it's funny when you were talking about being a kid and having that drive towards spirituality and you didn't even know, nobody had ever directed you. And that was that spark that you had within you that just led the way. So that's wonderful that you're doing that, and wonderful that you are guiding your children to do that from a young age. Because a lot of us didn't find that out until we got to the top of our ladder and went, crap, I climbed the wrong hill. Like, this is not where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. Being a conscious parent, we can all help our children get there without having to do the mistake at the other side of that. So
that's the hope.
But yes, exactly. That's the hope. Knock on wood. My kids will be telling their therapist about it in 20 years or so. My mom kept talking about being yourself. She wouldn't leave me alone. They're going to have a whole different set of issues. But I wanted to thank you so much for your time and for coming on the show. I learned a lot, and I know our listeners did too, and I'm totally going to connect with you because I have my own personal story and then I have a children's book too, so it's a whole deal.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the show. And guys, I'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.
Today's episode was different, and I would love your feedback. Drop me a line. My contact info is in the show notes, or you can hit me up at thebizessentials.com. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I'll see you next time on The Biz Essentials. Bye.
You've been listening to The Biz Essentials. Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information, learning how to be productive, be successful, be joyful, and more importantly, be yourself and turning your dreams into successful passion projects. By listening to this show, you've already set into motion the most important part, starting. So it's important to catch the next episode. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. In the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Veronica Ventures and at The Biz Essentials. Till next time, this is The Biz Essentials.
Brené Brown once said, "Loving ourselves through the process of owning our story is the bravest thing we'll ever do." Anyway, guys, thanks again for joining me today, and I'll see you next time on The Biz Essentials. Bye.